It's the Garden Nerd Tip of the Week podcast, where we spend time chatting with expert gardening guests, and we ask for their favorite tip. I'm Christy Wilhelmi. Thanks for joining me. My guests today are Doug and Stacy, hosts of the popular YouTube channel Off Grid with Doug and Stacy. They sold their businesses and large house in the suburbs and moved to the country. Doug built a log cabin from wood from the forest in 90 days with no experience. Key phrase there, no experience. And Stacy takes scratch cooking to new levels as they raise most of their food on their own land. These people are my heroes, okay? Together, they live with no solar power or wind turbines and rely 100% on rain catchment for their water needs. And they use a composting toilet, which is a total bonus. So I'm so excited to chat with you today. Thank you for giving me some time.
Yeah, thanks for having us on the show.
Yes, back to you.
Cool. So you are living what a lot of garden nerds would call the real American dream.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
It's self-reliance, fresh food, having land, ready for the zombie apocalypse, right, et cetera.
And totally. Yeah, that's what our plan was, you know, when we were going to do this.
So describe your homestead for people who aren't yet familiar with Doug and Stacy.
Well, we live on 11 acres in the Midwest, and like she said, we built a log cabin from wood from the forest. It wasn't a kit. A lot of people ask us if it was a kit. And we grow probably 90% of our own fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. We do have apple trees, berries, a lot of berry trees.
They take a few years to get mature.
Yeah, they do.
Mature.
Yeah. And that brings up a good question, is how far in advance did you plan out this land before you moved on to it?
Well, we moved on to it right off, but one of the mistakes we did make was not putting in the apple trees right the first year.
Yeah, and that's what you should do. Yeah. Definitely. Yes. Plant your fruit trees immediately or even before.
Yeah. Which is, that's what Barbara Kingsolver did. When she wrote Animal Vegetable Miracle, they had planned ahead, and they planted an orchard, a few years before they were actually going to move on to the land. So there's that. What else is going on your property?
Well, we raise chickens, guineas, ducks. We also have a pond that we can fish out of.
We have sheep.
Yeah, we have sheep.
We have cotton hair sheep,
and we have horses.
Oh, do you ride? You ride the horses?
Yeah, we actually use one for a buggy. We have buggies that we ride, just in case. So we always have transportation. We have a saddle horse.
Because they only take grass to eat.
That's right.
To fuel them.
No insurance, no oil changes, no tires.
No.
Just some love and some pasture. And, and I think, just the benefit of being around the animals, growing our own food, we've become healthier and more conscious of a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, and you process your animals.
Yeah, we process our animals. So we do 3,000 gallons of rain catchment that's gravity fed into our log cabin. And we have a couple of lawn hydrants, they call them. Typically, they're powered, with well water or anything. Mm-hmm. But, we put those in. It's all gravity fed. And then every building on our property also has the ability to collect rainwater, so every building is self-sufficient.
Awesome. Yeah. And so what does it look like inside with, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to stay outside for a minute. Okay, I've been watching your videos about digging the new root cellar, and I've been threatening to dig one myself, but on a modest scale, really like the size of a galvanized trash can.
And you could do that.
Yeah, very easily.
Right. And but what you're doing is serious, serious stuff. How it's a room, basically.
Right.
You walk, 20 it's by like 20.
It's a bunker. Well, there's stairs down into a cinder block room. So how much will you be able to store when it's finished?
Oh, more than we could possibly, worry about eating. But we wanted to, everything we do, like if you watch our channel on YouTube, it's Off Grid with Doug and Stacy, but we talk a lot about dual purpose everything, so even triple purpose. So if you spend any money on anything, don't just buy a single purpose item. So for the root cellar, not only is it going to be the foundation to our new building that we're putting up, a learning center, but it's also going to be a place where we can store food, and it'll also be a place where we could come in. It gets pretty hot and humid in our area in the summertime, so we can actually sleep in there during the wintertime.
Okay.
And tornadoes.
We have Tornado Alley.
Okay.
So it gives us a place of security, and so we'll have our food down there, some water, places to sleep. So if we needed to bunk out down there and hang tight, we could do that.
And I'm excited because, a lot of my perishable things, because we can't control, we don't have any air conditioning, so it gets very, very hot. So if I have, nuts and seeds, mm-hmm. and then you have your grains, things like that really can perish, that's going to be a place that I can store all
that
stuff.
Bulk storage long term.
Yeah. That's really important. I'm a bread baker and I sourdough bread, and everyone wants, we all want to buy 50-pound bags of grain to mill on site.
Of course.
there's nowhere to store that mm-hmm. without it going, right. you know, getting the oils will go rancid really yep. quickly unless there's
and you can't
storage.
Fit a 50-pound bag in your refrigerator.
Anywhere, exactly, or my freezer. So right. I'm like, I want a freezer, a second, you know, but it's not going to happen. It's all about space. So you've got this 20x20 bunker that's going to be multi-stacking function.
That's right.
A permaculture concept.
Right. Right.
Awesome. So you mentioned winter. What is winter like for you?
In the Midwest where we live, we get snow, we get zero, we get negative zeros.
Ooh.
So we have the whole gamut. So some years we'll have maybe a heavy snows, but it'll be moderate, you know, maybe 30s and 20s and, you know, above. And then some years we might not have a lot of snow, but we'll have really cold
and that's what it was last year for us.
Yeah.
Lots of wind and freezing cold.
Okay, yeah. So that leads me into my next thing, because you live without on-grid electricity
right.
or solar power.
Right.
I'm curious to know, well, a couple things. Let's start with the prep, the cooking and the, like, putting up and all the stuff that you have to do before winter comes. What's that like?
Well, one thing, okay, we right now for the summer, let's go into summer.
Okay.
A lot of people ask, you know, how do you keep your, you know, what do you use for refrigeration? So we have a 100-year-old ice box.
Oh.
And it's just like they used to use a long time ago.
With ice.
And then we have a friend, we kind of cheat, that we use their freezer right now.
Uh-huh.
So that we freeze big 5-gallon buckets of ice.
I might interject that that's purely for convenience. If we wanted to, we could cut ice out of our pond during the wintertime and then create ice for the whole year till the next winter by storing it in an ice house.
In the ice box.
Or what we stored in an ice house, or my intentional plans with the root cellar was to build a room in there that would act as a ice house, and because it is below ground, it would hold ice longer. We have a lot of friends that have ice houses that are above ground,
mm-hmm.
and with the heat beating on them and stuff, they can almost barely make it to the next winter. So.
Wow. So as a Southern California girl who has never seen an ice house in her life, this is fascinating to me.
See, now we're getting the root cellar. So
yeah.
Basically, that's
you know, refrigerator.
That was
right.
our big refrigerator.
We should be able to moderate the temperatures in the root cellar between upper mid-40s to low 50s.
Okay.
So that's almost refrigerator
it's
temperature.
Perfect. Yeah,
right.
For a lot of things.
Yep.
And so what do you cook with? What do you do?
I have lots of different mediums. We built an outside kitchen
mm-hmm.
because in that means I can go ahead and cook. I have a grill.
Mm-hmm.
I have a propane grill. Mm-hmm. I have a propane oven. We have one of those big cowboy grills that I can cook on wood.
Okay.
So I have those things that are outside. Inside in the house, I have a wood-burning cook stove that uses wood.
Got it.
So if it's in the middle of summer and it's 80, you know, 100 degrees, I'm not going to use the wood-burning cook
right.
stove.
You're outside.
So then I'm outside. So it just kind of depends. But I have lots of different mediums. So if I'm canning, I'm going to use my wood heat because I'm going to need the big pots. I'm going to need a lot of energy, so I don't use so much propane. So it just kind of depends. If I want to grill some lamb chops,
uh-huh.
I can cook it on the grill. So it just kind of depends. And then the one thing I really did like to bake in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
so I bake in my wood-burning cook stove all the time. So we ended up getting a small little Camp Chef oven, right?
Our main source of cooking in the summertime is our all-American sun oven that we use.
Sun oven. Yeah. So that's a
solar-powered. Yeah.
It's
a black box.
Yeah.
You can't burn any food. You just set it out there in the daytime, and you come back at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Your food's done. It's moist. Because it's different than cooking in an oven. Traditionally, ovens dry out your food. That's why they get burned and stuff. With the sun oven, we actually are able to preserve the moisture because it's an even heat. And, man, that thing is awesome. But we use that probably, you know, 70% of the time.
Yeah,
the
sun oven. I was going over in the kitchen, but yeah, actually outside, I use the sun for the summertime because the sun oven is absolutely amazing. I dehydrate with the sun
mm-hmm,
oven.
Mm-hmm.
I can hard boil my eggs in the sun oven. I can make bread in my sun oven. I can do so many things. You can cook anything if you have the sun.
Yeah.
The sun's there and you can see your shadow. It doesn't even have to be the sun shining on you. If you have a shadow, you can do it. You can even use it in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So outside temperature doesn't matter. And actually on our YouTube channel, Off Grid with Doug and Stacy, we have a playlist of all the different things that we've made with the Sun Oven. And if you'd like to go over there and check it out, there's even a coupon code and all that kind of stuff if you're interested.
But yeah, basically I can cook. It's sort of like, I'll call it like a crock pot. Like if we're going to be gone all day, I can put a chicken in there or whatever, and then we'll be gone all day long and then come back and I'll have a wonderful meal, potatoes, carrots, whatever. I can make meatloafs in there. You know, I can cook it for whatever the time I can get it to 350 degrees, or if not, I can turn it away from the sun and I can just let it cook all day and slow cook. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. So I use it a lot for like dehydrating. I can do, it makes the most amazing dehydrated tomatoes.
Oh, nice.
So like sun-dried tomatoes.
Yeah.
So I do the sun-dried tomatoes, all my herbs. So it's and I can even make jerky in it.
Oh, cool.
So it's really, really a wonderful thing. So by using the sun and the sun oven, then I have the grill, I have the wood burning, and then I have the stove in the house. All those things together help us to be able to, you know, cook during any kind of weather.
Yeah.
If there's wind, if there's sun, if there's no sun,
got it.
You know, hot or cold, I can cook on any day.
Cool. For us, too, it's all about redundancies, right? So in case you guys are new to this stuff, it's like one is none, two is one, and three is done. So you want to have enough of sources or ways to do things to where if any one of those bugs out, then you can go to the next one and not miss a beat.
Right. Plan A, B, and C.
That's right.
Yeah. I built a solar food dryer in my backyard. It's got handles on it. You can move it around, but it takes two people to lift it and move it. And it uses convection.
Sure.
So I dry things out that way. And I also use it to melt the wax for my beehive and strain it and, you know, get clean beeswax.
And I do the beeswax in the sun oven. You could do that too.
I imagine it's a lot faster.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because they have pots that you can stack.
Right.
There's two pots, one on top of the other one, and it would work fine
to
do that. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so I imagine you've encountered some challenges along the way. What's one of the biggest so far?
Wow.
So and I ask this because you rated your whole project for the root cellar as a 5 out of 10 in terms of difficulty, and I'm thinking that involved a backhoe and like cement and stuff. So that seemed like a higher level difficulty than I would give it.
I mean, the only thing with that stuff is like we subbed that out, right?
You did, okay.
You know,
well,
so like the concrete guys came in and did some stuff. I mean, but really, like all those things, I think we think too much about them, so we get scared of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like all that stuff really was relatively, even if we did it ourselves, wasn't that big of a deal. We could have done it. But yeah, it's just, you know, you get better as you start. When we first started, we were a little rough. And then, you know, every year goes by, we're building, we're learning, we're fine-tuning. You know, all of our structures are still standing. You know, it's it doesn't look like a trash heap around there. I mean, we keep a tidy property and all of our buildings are good. And, you know, but yeah, it's just the more you get in and do hands-on stuff, the more you learn. And then, like, if you guys listening today, if you're thinking about this and maybe you hire someone to come do that project, don't hire them and walk away and let them do the project.
Learn.
Hawk over them. Now, don't bug them all the time while you're doing it. But yeah, just sit there, ask questions, you know, quietly watch them and pick up some tricks, because people that do something every single day, you can really learn a lot from that.
Yeah. It's sort of like being a little mini apprentice, you know. You learn so much. You glean from everything that you do.
Yeah. And so we talked about the fruit trees going in kind of late as a rookie mistake.
So this is our first year that we have apples.
Yeah.
Right.
And so were there any other, like, facepalm things that you did that you were like, oh, I wish we'd done this differently?
That's the biggest.
Okay.
One thing, too, is when you're thinking about systems, if you want to live like this, or even in your general life, you know, just don't rush into stuff. Like, some of the things that we might have rushed into, like maybe putting in a well, which would have cost us, like, 3 times as much as our rainwater catchment system.
Yeah. Or more.
Luckily, we toughed it out, and we actually hauled water in 1 gallon jugs and 5 gallon
for
buckets
4 years
while we figured out like what would actually be the best system for us and the most economical so we could get the return faster. And it turned out to be rainwater catchment, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of people would just automatically think, put in a well, and then that, you know, there's 15,000 or like solar power, right? We could have put $10,000-$15,000 into a solar system
or more.
And because we waited to just see how that was, we actually learned there was an Amish community, we had no idea when we bought the place, but it's about 7 miles away. And once we saw the way they lived and that they were doing it, we were like, we could do that too. And then we ended up saving, you know, like $15,000, and we really haven't missed a beat.
That's cool. Because we use like oil lanterns, like we do olive oil lamps, and we have clean burn, and then also candles, and that's what we use for lighting. And
headlamps.
Headlamps. We'll
rechargeable batteries.
Right, yeah.
And you do have a generator.
Yeah, we have a small Jenny that we use, yeah.
And you use that for mainly for what?
Just whatever. If I'm running some heavy-duty power tools, or if I want to charge up my battery power tools, or if we have the, you know, just laptop, or, you know, just, it's, we call it power on demand. So we still use fossil fuel there, but we bought the higher end generators where we can get 24 hours of burn, you know, start and finish on a generator with just like a couple of gallons of gas. So we use it so rare, it comes out way. I think one of the biggest misconceptions, since we're talking about energy and solar power, is a lot of people think solar power is really green. But it really isn't. The footprint to make a solar power setup is huge. It's like five times anything you could burn fossil fuels. So you might, you know, just think about that too. I mean, I'm not knocking solar, but all I'm saying is I think it's a hype to the green space to say that solar power is like some renewable green thing, when in fact just the mere production of it is a huge footprint.
Right, there is. It's that way with electric vehicles and everything.
Yeah, all that stuff, right.
I mean, yeah, everything, we are consumers, and that's part of our plague, you know, part of the plague of humanity is that we are.
And you talk
consumers.
About consumers, that's what it was. We were really consume. And now, like when we were moving to initially do this, we looked at all, even in the kitchen, how many spoons do I have? How many, you know, serving things do I have? I mean, it was just crazy. And so I only need one of this and one of this. And so I really got rid of a lot of stuff. And then you don't want to be bringing all the stuff, because we have a 600 square foot cabin, and there's not a lot of space at all.
Yeah.
So it kind of forces you
to do
that.
I did that on purpose.
So, and it does, because what do we need all this stuff for?
Right.
How often do you use it all?
Right.
I mean, you can look at your whole house and see that. So it really helped us.
I agree. I find myself getting rid of things. We have this group. There's a group on Facebook called Buy Nothing, and it's everyone posts stuff they want to get rid of or things they're looking for instead of going out and buying it.
Right.
You know?
Like a swap.
Yeah. And it's all free, and it's wonderful.
That's good.
Yeah. We also, and because we're sort of sitting near this, we're at the Heirloom Expo, by the way, folks, sitting near a little kind of garage sale type of setup. We do... I belong to this group called the Time Bank, and we do repair cafes where people bring things that are broken and we fix them, because people throw things away.
Disposable society.
So speaking of trash, how do you deal with waste on your property?
Well, because of the way we've chosen to live, we don't have that much waste. Like before, we had like the big city trash can, and you had to take it out to the curb, and the big truck would come by.
Yeah.
You know, so since we've cut back on our consumerism and stuff, you know, it's really dramatically lessened the amount of trash that we have. So what we basically do is, and we have no problem with our conscience in doing it, is that wherever we spend money, when we have a bag of trash, we throw it in their dumpster. So if we buy gas at a certain gas station, or if we frequent a restaurant or a store, then that's the receptacle that we use. And because it's so minimal, it's worked out fine for us.
And then the thing is since we have chickens, I mean, we can't either in the compost pile or
for stuff you
can't
use.
That's why when we travel and do things like this, it's like, oh my gosh.
That's what I was going to ask you.
It's crazy because, you know, I want to give it to the chickens, or I could do this, or put it in the compost pile. And then if we have other things we can burn it also.
Yeah, so here you are. You're both here for the whole 3 days.
Yeah.
Who's tending the farm while you're gone?
Yeah, if you want to live this lifestyle, you have to build networks. You have to, you know, you don't want to buy a piece of land and then never leave it again in your life.
Yeah.
So you're developing relationships with your neighbors. I think that's a big misconception.
I know. Sometimes it feels like
I know.
Like, I have chickens and a cat, and I'm like, I can't leave.
Yeah, but you have to.
You have to.
I think that's a huge part of just, like, I wouldn't say, like, keeping the sanity of it all, but I mean, just the free spirit of it, and of us, likes to adventure, likes to check out stuff. So we developed systems where we have neighbors and friends that come by, and when they go out of town, we take care of their stuff. So it's a barter situation, basically.
Awesome.
And you have to develop those systems. I mean, I can't stress that enough, because you don't want to be a slave to your homestead, you know, and you'll burn out, actually, too. I mean, it's just there's multifaceted reasons why.
Yeah, because we didn't go anywhere, actually, for the first four and a half years. Yeah.
Well, we were developing our systems, putting things in place.
We got everything down, and then once we did, it
relationships.
Worked out good. Yeah, you meet people, and that's what it's worked out to be now.
And so your closest neighbor is where? How far away?
A couple acres, yeah.
Couple acres away?
Yeah. We're not like... We didn't go golf off grid, right?
Yeah.
So we're about 40 minutes from a town where we can do some stuff, and have major hospitals kind of close by. They do have a helicopter, like an airlift service for people.
Good. So your safety is there if you. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
We're not trying to disengage from society, right? So there are people that want to go off grid and do that kind of thing. We are social people. Mm-hmm. So that, one of our criteria wasn't we had to be where no one could get to us. So we do have conveniences not too close, but not too far away.
Right. Yeah, and you're building a learning center, so obviously you need to be where people can get to you.
Yeah, right. And so they can also have a place to stay and everything. So,
Cool.
That was one of our, thoughts. We have cell service. We've talked to a lot of people that don't even have cell service and they live off grid, and they're almost complaining about it, but they bought that spot.
Yeah, that's what you
do your homework.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, it is tip time. Do you have a favorite tip that you would like to share with the Garden Nerd audience?
Well, we always talk about do what you can where you are. So if your passion is gardening or maybe growing fruit trees or whatever, and maybe you don't have the space to do it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you do what you can at the moment. If you're in a little apartment somewhere, you can get a pot, put it on the garden deck, just do this, or even get a community garden. So there's just so many things that you can do just to kind of take that first step. Just take the first step. Maybe go take a class.
Yes.
So just do what you can. What would you say?
I think the biggest tip for your listening audience would be don't be afraid.
Oh, that's a good one.
Don't be afraid.
I think they're both really good tips because fear holds people back
big
so
time.
Much.
Oh, and that's huge.
And the overwhelm is the other piece of that.
Right.
It's fear and overwhelm
paralysis.
That keep people from doing things.
If everything in life was super smooth and, you wouldn't make mistakes and bad decisions, I mean, what a boring life. So if you ever thought about growing more food, or you listen to these podcasts and maybe you don't garden but you really want to, just try to start making that first step. Build a little raised bed. If you're living in an apartment and you just have a little patio, find a local community garden, or attend the farmers markets and get to know the people that you buy your food
from. Yeah, the CSAs. And the thing is, I'll say, even if you're wanting to even start into it, the biggest thing and easiest thing and the most wonderful healing thing to do is to start growing herbs.
Yes. Yes.
Herbs are amazing, and they add so much flavor to our food.
Right.
So just adding that zing
and such
to
a
your
small
sandwiches
space.
And your meals.
You can do them in pots on a balcony. You can do them anywhere. You can do herbs in your windows.
And that might become your passion, and maybe you'll start selling herbs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny how things kind of go. And maybe herbs aren't your thing. Maybe you want to try something else. And so one thing leads to another.
Yeah.
And just do it.
Also, another thing I'll throw in is that we're not trees. So if you don't like your place, if there's too much regulation, if where you're living isn't copacetic, move.
Uproot.
Don't be afraid to move. I think that's a lot of people, I don't know what it is, but they just get it in their mind like they're stuck in this spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, just move.
These are really great tips, Doug and Stacy. Thank you so much for sharing them with the Garden Nerd audience, and thank you for being on the Garden Nerd Tip of the Week podcast.
Pleasure is all ours.
Yes.
How do people find you?
If you want to follow us on our crazy adventure, we're on YouTube at Off Grid with Doug and Stacy. We also are on Facebook under the same name. We're on Twitter and Instagram. So. It's pretty easy to find a couple people that live off-grid in the Midwest in the log cabin with no solar power, oddly enough.
And my husband has a very cool beard.
Yes, he does.
they can't see that.
You are working the Amish look.
Yeah, I am. So. And the reason why is because the clothes are functional. I live an agrarian-style life.
Yeah.
And these clothes are from the 1800s. And
Charles Ingalls.
Yeah, they're basically associated with the Amish because they've stayed in time and kept that clothes. But basically, if you went to a reenactment place or anything else, you would find people wearing these same type clothes. So I'm big into community. I'd rather keep my dollars as close to my house as I can. I don't want to go to Walmart and Target and all these places to buy clothes, so I employ my local artisan friends, and we're able to exchange our services with one another, and then I keep my money. The closer I can keep my money to my houses, the better I feel.
And the same for me. I mean, I don't dress like him.
But she's the total clothes, opposite.
I'm the total opposite. But the thing is my clothes, I do, I have made.
Yeah, we have like linen.
And then my skirts, pants,
right.
Friends, we have friends.
Right.
And we barter for things. And
right.
So it's
right.
Really, and when we, way we live, it's the same way. We barter with our neighbors and the
right.
Amish, and then it works out great.
And
right.
That is the best thing. I mean, trading honey for figs
sure.
Or eggs
right.
Or whatever.
Right.
And it's great. And I also get most of my clothes at a clothing swap
right.
That, you know, twice
yep.
A year. So it's really not that hard to live without buying stuff.
Right.
Of course.
That's the point, I think, that in my wanting to talk to you, this was kind of the thing I wanted to convey.
Sure.
All right, garden nerds, you'll find links to Doug and Stacy's Off Grid with Doug and Stacy's YouTube channel, as well as their social media channels on gardennerd.com this week. That's it for this week. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen. Visit us for tons of gardening information at gardennerd.com. You'll find us on Instagram and Twitter under gardennerd1. On Facebook as gardennerd.com, and of course, our Garden Nerd YouTube channel. Happy gardening!